And your teacher this morning is Tony Thompson, former English teacher, now teaches English literature at Victoria University. Tony, come in close.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, it's absolutely our pleasure. Let's say, where do we start with Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol?
I think for students, starting with the structure of the novel is really important. Dickens, I hope you don't get 100 phone calls about this. Dickens was not a subtle writer. This novel is set up in a very, very particular manner. In the first stave, and he divides the book into 5 staves, in the first stave, we find out all the things that are wrong with Scrooge. He's horrible to his family. He's horrible to his employees. Horrible to the 2 charity workers who come around, and he's really cut off from everybody. In each of the successive 3 staves, he learns a series of lessons, so that all of the shadows that the ghosts show him are actually lessons which you can take right back to the things we found out about him in the first stave. So that we see that he's cut off from his family, and there's a number of the shadows he's shown are actually about family and about the importance of family. And then at the end we see that he's redeemed, and he's going over to his nephew's place for Christmas. So I think that if you look at the book as a series of lessons, and that each shadow is a particular lesson, that makes the novel very, very easy to follow, at least in terms of structure.
Just trying to pick up your accent. Is that like Canadian-Irishy sort of thing?
It's Canadian.
Canadian?
Yes.
Beautiful. But what is a story written in the 1840s by an old bloke who, look, must have had a rotten childhood, because all of his stories are so dark and cruel about those sorts of things? And what does it have to offer VCE students in 2012?
I think the thing about the story of Christmas Carol, and it has been incredibly popular from the first time. It was originally a performance piece, which is one of the reasons it's so short compared to his other works.
But it's a novella, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a novella. It's about 100 pages. He wrote it to perform, and he did perform it about 127 times, which is considering he didn't live all that long, and he must have performed it over several Christmases. I think redemption stories continue to interest us. We like the idea that no matter what we do, we can always fix things, and the possibility or our capacity to become better people is always there. And the fact that there's been so many film versions and stage versions and radio plays and comic books and retellings of this story suggests that we're still very interested in the idea of redemption.
Is this one of those books that you have to find associated texts to weave in with, so that in fact if you were looking into the outside world in terms of films or in terms of news stories, you'd be looking for stories of redemption to compare and contrast?
Yeah, I think it's interesting that this novel was written in a period of great social change to do with the Industrial Revolution and the opening up of trade all over the world and those kind of things. It's still, I noticed after the global financial crisis hit, how many headlines continued to make reference to this story, and Scrooge's abounded after the initial crisis began. I think it would probably be worthwhile for students to consider the continuing relevance of the story, certainly.
I'm trying to think of public figures that it kind of works for. I mean, Kevin Rudd went for redemption, didn't he? Or is that a kind of more psychological healing?
Well, I think this story does have a psychological dimension, which is interesting because it was written a long time before Freud started to write. And Scrooge's redemption does, if you want to look at this story away from the ghost story aspect, you could look at it as Scrooge going through a period of intense personal reflection. And that personal reflection about his past, his present, and the possibilities for the future do lead to the redemption. So yeah, I think that's could be easily, you could take that to lots of contemporary figures.
How do you think Scrooge should be regarded?
I think one of the mistakes that you can make in this book is to see Scrooge as an evil character. Scrooge is certainly flawed. There's no question about it. He's a seriously flawed individual. But to regard him as pure evil or something like that would be to miss the entire point of the novel. Dickens creates, one of the first things Dickens shows us, and it's one of the most powerful shadows, is Scrooge as a child. And that creates a sympathy for Scrooge, which means that as readers, we want Scrooge to be redeemed. If we didn't want Scrooge to be redeemed, we wouldn't really have any interest in this novel. But though he's a really bad man, and even the blind man's dog hides from him, we're keen to see his redemption take place because we're all a little bit flawed, and we all like the idea that we can be redeemed.
All humans are flawed. Certainly. I mean, that's the deal, isn't it, with humanity?
Absolutely.
Tony Thompson is a former English teacher now lecturing at Victoria University in Literature, but he's chosen to come in and tutor you this morning on Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, which is one of the seminal books that's on the VCE English list this year, the 2012 English list. If you are studying A Christmas Carol and you've got a question to ask Tony, you're allowed to call. Even if you're a parent and you're trying to help your child study for A Christmas Carol, give us a call, 1300 222 774, 1300 222 774, or you can text 0437 774 774, 0437 774 774. If you've got a question about A Christmas Carol from Charles Dickens to ask Tony Thompson, who's your tutor this morning, tell me about the supernatural visits of Jacob Marley and the ghosts of Christmas past, present and yet to come. Like, how do they, manifest themselves in terms of, how do you use them in terms of an exam?
I think again, if you look at the ghosts as representing, to some extent, an experience of reflection for Scrooge. The ghosts, they're very frightening, and particularly the ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. And Jacob Marley's ghost is very frightening. When the book first went on the list, people said to me, gee, isn't it a children's book? And I said, you need to read it again, because it's a very, very frightening story. I guess the ghosts, they're not haunting him or trying to scare him. They're simply showing him things from his past and from the present and the future. So the ghosts give him the opportunity to reflect on the things that he's done and the things that might happen if he doesn't change his ways. Gothic literature was enjoying a revival in the one of its many revivals in the 1840s, and Dickens, though he does make fun of it a little bit at the beginning of the story by telling us over and over how dead Jacob Marley is, He certainly employs Gothic elements to tell this story, and I think the combination of ghosts and Christmas would have been very appealing to his original audiences, as it continues to be to us.
I've got a text message saying Tony is a natural, excellent analysis. So you've got fans.
That's fantastic.
Texting in, but the question is, how could students use the Cratchit family?
The Cratchit family represent one of the things that Scrooge needs to learn. If you look at this novel as Scrooge more or less at the center, and all of the characters representing aspects of his need to redeem himself, the Cratchits represent his responsibility to his employees, and in the case of Tiny Tim, to the most vulnerable members of society. And in a sense, you can look at the novel as Scrooge's journey towards Tiny Tim. I'm always interested in whether he even knew Tiny Tim existed at the beginning of the story. And, of course, Tiny Tim gets the famous last lines. But the whole story seems to be Scrooge finding Tiny Tim in his heart. And I think, again, if students look at the story in that way and look at the process by which he grows closer to Tiny Tim and understands his responsibility to Tiny Tim, I think the novel reveals itself.
Tony Thompson is your tutor this morning. Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol is the book. Got text messages saying, can you tell me if previous books can still be heard? Yes, they can. In fact, we're setting up a special portal for all of the lectures that we've had on the program, such has been the demand. I'm not quite sure whether it's up yet, but you can be rest assured that we're onto it to whack everything up on the website in one place so that you can have access to our VCE resource. Oh, look, people are sending in text messages for you. What is being said about the traditions of Christmas, Tony?
Well, this is a very interesting story because it's one of those odd cases where it seems as though Dickens is writing about a particular tradition, but he was actually inventing it. Nobody said Merry Christmas to anybody else before this story
really?
Appeared. Yes, and he added turkey to the menu on Christmas.
Charles Dickens did.
There is a sense that Charles Dickens invented Christmas as we know it. And so, but I think what he's saying about Christmas, he's looking at, he acknowledges that Christmas has a religious function in the beginning of the story, but he moves away from that and says that Christmas is a time, it's a feast or a festival. And of course, you know, human ceremonies to do with food go back to the earliest civilizations. But he suggests that it's a day when we can reconnect with each other as human beings, aside from our positions in society or who we are in a class hierarchy or something like that. We can sit down and eat together and have a feast together and recognize each other as human beings. And I think that's what he's doing with Christmas. He suggests that it's a feast day or a festival.
But that leads to the next question. Why is there so much food in the book?
Why is there so much food in the book? Well, there is a huge amount of food in the book. And Dickens, again, never a subtle writer. I think if you took all the food out of the book, it'd be about 30 pages shorter. Again, I think what he's suggesting is that the ceremonies connected with food are something we all share. Every culture in history has had ceremonies around food. And he is returning Christmas, or possibly establishing Christmas, as a festival or a feast day when people of all classes can sit down together, or employees can sit down with employers, servants with masters, etc., and recognize that we're all human beings together.
So food is the basic common denominator that sustains us.
Yes, and the novel is about Scrooge. I guess you could put it as he's looking to kind of find a place at the table again.
Right.
He's returning to the human feast. And of course, one of the things he does when he wakes up in the morning, the first thing he does is he sends a boy out to buy a turkey for the Cratchits. So that's food at the end of the novel.
So food is sustenance, and so therefore, with food, you can have a place at the table.
Yes, and you in all of the scenes where there's food, where good things are happening, when he's seeing the shadows, there's a lot of food on the table.
So what sort of questions are normally asked in relation to this novel on the exam? You've said about redemption.
Yeah.
Food.
My advice to students would be to make up your mind about what this novel's about. Now, I believe the novel is essentially about Scrooge's redemption, so I would look at any question in terms of how the question relates to that. A lot of the questions contain red herrings and paths that could set you off on a sort of essay where you're simply reiterating what happens in the novel. What you want to do is say, okay, well, here's the question. What does that question have to do with Scrooge's redemption?
And so twist the question around to Scrooge's redemption.
Yeah, I mean, students really need to challenge the question. And I think when people say that, students need to challenge the question, what they're saying is they need to find a way to connect the question to the big ideas in the novel.
Which are?
Redemption, essentially. But inside of redemption, you've got his responsibility to the community, his responsibility to his family, his responsibility to his employees, and also his responsibility to himself as a human being. We see Scrooge at the beginning. He's eating gruel, which sounds terrible, although it's really just oatmeal. And he's got a cold, and he's sitting in a poorly lit room. We also see a man who needs to connect with himself again.
And at the end, he's eating turkey.
Yes, well, we know he's going off to have a good time at his nephew's house.
Tony, you've been marvellous. What a great teacher. How lucky we are to have you in today as a tutor.
Thank you very much, Libby, and thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Tony Thompson, former English teacher, now lecturer at Victoria University, talking about A Christmas Carol, which is the novella by Charles Dickens, first published in 1843, still relevant today in terms of ideas of redemption.